This is Joe Ferrello, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, God Promises Peace.
We've begun the series this month on God's promises, and I thought I'd start out with one of the more elusive ones, God's promise of peace. Boy, we hear about it all over the world, peace, peace, and the Bible says peace, peace, but there is none. We look at our political situation, we don't find any peace in our politics. We don't find any peace in our country between people who have divergent, different ideas. Our country seems to be more divided along the lines of ideology than it's been in a very, very long time. There's no peace there. There's no peace in any of the things that the world attempts to offer up as potential ways to find peace. Peace is very elusive. It's very hard to come by. And yet it is so vital to your living and so vital to your life that it's something that the Holy Spirit has promised to give us. If we would only believe that it's in us and the potential is there for us to have peace, irrespective and regardless of the most trying times that we could possibly go through. And some of you are going through such times as I speak. The author, Thomas Watson, writes this: if God be our God, he will give peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. That's a promise that he has. Listen to how he says it in Psalm 29 in verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it is impossible to find real, true peace. This is why it says in the book of Isaiah, it's impossible for an unbelieving world to find peace because they're leaving God out of the equation. God can't be out of the equation in trying to find peace or having peace. We first have to have peace with God in order to have peace within ourselves, in order to be able to take that peace and carry it to somebody else. There's no chance without God, and it's a hard enough struggle with God to be able to find peace with the people in your life. The people you love, the people you care for, and the people who are beyond that. Peace is defined this way: a state of calm, a sense of well-being, quiet, security, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony with others. It's that place when you just, there's nothing troubling you in your head. There's nothing on the outside doing it. And there's nothing on the inside doing it. I'd like to explore with you in Scripture some events and some individuals who have gone through some periods where their peace was disrupted by enemies of peace. I'm going to share some of those enemies of peace with you this morning, but just some ways in which those enemies were defeated. And I'd like to begin with a text that everybody probably in the room knows. It's in Luke chapter 8, and it's a very familiar account of Jesus and the storm. And I'd like for us to read that. So let me get there. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. And let's stand together as we read from God's word. Out of respect, we stand. Luke chapter 8, 22 to 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over onto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, when we read that text, we get focused on the storm. We get focused on the storm. But I'd like to submit to you, the storm outside the boat was raging, absolutely. But there was another storm raging, and it was inside the boat. These disciples were absolutely, completely lost in their fear. Here is an example number one. The disciples' enemy of peace is fear. Fear. This must have been the mother of all storms in order to bring these guys who were fishermen, who had been on the sea before. And they were brought to the place where they didn't know where to turn and they didn't know what to do. This was beyond their pay grade. So they did the one thing that you have the privilege to do and I have the privilege to do. And verse 24 says, they cried out to Jesus. When you're above your head, when you're over your head in a situation, you need to do the same, and I need to do the same. And we do find ourselves in those kinds of circumstances often. It may not be in the water, but it's in the floods of despair. It's in the situations of confusions. It's in situations where we feel hopeless and helpless that we're under the water. Sometimes it's the water of our own making. Jesus, in turn, speaks to the storm in Mark 4:28, and he says, peace be still. Here's Creator God who made it all. He stands out on the bow of the ship, and I just picture him raising his hands. And the storm hears it. When God spoke, and remember, he spoke his creation into being. He spoke it. There's some energy that is in the voice of God that makes things happen. And when Jesus raised his voice and raised his hands out to the sea, I'm sure all the waves stood at attention and said, what's the command? Peace be still. Now, if those storms, if those waves would obey, why don't we? The wind ceased, the waves dissolve, and the disciples' enemy of peace goes away. It stops. Peace and calm and quiet have been restored on the water and in the hearts of the disciple. There are enemies to your peace. So I want to give you a list of some of the ones that may be enemies to your peace this morning. It's a long list, and it's a partial list. Fear. Fear is the mother of so many other things. Fear sometimes is the mother of guilt. And guilt is the mother of many things. Fear. Anxiety. We can get physically stressed out to the point where we can't get up and go to work. So many people are working so hard these days on their job, they can never get away from it because the telephone is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. The email's everywhere. You can't get away from your... When I was in business, they didn't have all of that. So when I closed the door and left the office, they couldn't get me until I got home. And that took me about 1.75 hours. From Brooklyn to Jersey. And it was peaceful in the car. I didn't carry a lot of those anxieties with me. Disappointment can be a killer of your peace and an interrupter of your peace. Guilt and sickness can interrupt your peace. Have you ever been through such a time like that, where you're dealing with people who are sick and need your help, or you yourself are sick? Where's the peace? Depression can steal your peace. Unresolved issues can steal your peace. Broken or hurting relationships can steal your peace. Aging can steal your peace. People get to the point in their life when they wonder what's going to happen to them. When they get to these older ages and they're all by themselves. And when they lose a loved one, they're even more fearful and more concerned because they don't know what's going to happen now that they're alone. How are they going to be able to handle this? So many people alone and wondering how they're going to handle their situation. Financial problems can steal your peace. That's one of the reasons why we had, during the summer, Financial Peace University. The Lord has promised that you can experience real peace even in the face of these enemies. Self-doubt, poor self-image. God will give you a promised peace over those circumstances. John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has anointed Jesus with the ability to give you peace through the Holy Spirit. This is a promise that he has. So it's not the kind of peace the world offers with all kinds of methodologies and all kinds of therapies. Not that there's anything wrong with those if they come from the Lord. But the Lord orchestrates his peace through you by way of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that works on bringing you that inner peace, that inner resolve to be able to get through the circumstances of life. Number two, the children of Israel's enemy was pierced of peace was fear again, but also a sense of being trapped. As Moses led the children out of slavery in Egypt, they almost immediately came to their first obstacle, the Red Sea in front of them and armies of Pharaoh behind them. And here's how they reacted. Exodus 14:10 says this, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." And in response, Moses says this in Exodus 14:13, "Fear ye not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more." What is your enemy today? What is the thing that has got you to the place where you have no peace? Is it some self-inflicted wound? Is it some trouble, some circumstance, some problem, some issue in your life that's just so big it doesn't feel like it could ever be resolved and you're trapped? Which is probably one of the worst feelings anybody can have. There are people who feel trapped in their jobs. Trapped because they know that if they leave this place, it's going to be hard to get another one. People are trapped by the circumstance in which they find themselves and feel like that trap is a trap that they can't get out of. But Jesus makes a promise to you. This enemy that you're dealing with now, in time, it's going to be no more. Either it's going to change or your attitude toward it is going to change. Something is going to change in how this situation is dealing with you. I have a feeling everything's going to be all right, not necessarily all better. But I know somehow or another that the circumstances that we find ourselves in life, by all my promises of the word and my own personal experience, we're going to get through them. You're going to get through this time. You say, "Pastor, how do you know?" I know because you were going through circumstances like this previously and God got you through. Will he make things all better? He's not promising that. He's promising to go with you through this time so that you can endure it. And there are things in our life when that's about all we can hope for, the ability to endure it. And so God sees us in that situation of fear, like he saw them with the Red Sea in front of them and the army behind them. And as Moses lifts up his hands and speaks to them and the Lord begins to do them, he says, "Stop your fears. You have some control over this. Stop these feelings. Stand still long enough to see what God can do with your rapidly beating heart." See, we're focused again on the water. But this is a story about you and a story about me when we get into things so deep and over our head again. And we feel like there's nothing that can be done. With God, all things are possible. When we feel that this is hopeless, those two words that are so precious to me and to you, "but God." He will intervene in some way. He'll give you a moment of peace. He'll give you a promise of peace that he'll keep, even if it's for 5 minutes. Stand still long enough to slow down your rapidly beating heart, your trembling spasms, your breathlessness. Keep your eyes on the Lord to see what he's going to do. As time passes, your enemy will be defeated. Be patient. Peace sometimes has a price. Hard times. If you didn't go through hard times, you'd never know what peace was. If you didn't go through chaos, you'd never know what it means to be living a life filled with order. We go through these times. We don't want to live in them forever, but we certainly go through them. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." So what do? You got to keep focused on God's promises to you for peace. You got to keep focused on the truth that God can do anything. That God, with the God, all things are possible. That nothing is impossible or too big for him or too small that he doesn't care about it. John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you should have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Jesus is not just saying, have peace. Don't worry, nothing's ever going to happen to you. He's not lying to you. He said, you're going to have trouble. Can anybody say amen to that? Anybody not have any trouble in their life? Would you raise your hand? Because we're going to have to ask you to leave. You're trying to deceive us. Everybody in this room has felt the truth of that promise that in this world you'll have tribulation. But what about the other side of the equation? But be of good cheer. I've overcome the situation. I've overcome the world. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to take care of you. You're going to feel like you ran out of strength, and I'm going to provide the strength you need. You're going to feel so tired and so exhausted, but I'm going to find a way to give you perfect rest. Open the Word. Study what I say. Believe what I wrote to you. And be encouraged. Number three, Moses' enemy of peace is stress and anxiety. This is for every person who goes to work every day. As the children of Israel worked their way through the wilderness, food supplies had just about run out. Moses is the man. It's all on his shoulders, and the pressure is on. Have you ever been in that situation at work where it's all on you and the pressure is on? Have you ever been in that circumstance in your life in any way where you feel like the whole thing is on you and there's nobody else to help? Whatever the situation is, it may be a family problem. It may be that you're the caretaker and it's on you and there's nobody there to help. Numbers 11 tells us the people wept and they complained. There's no food. Why did you drag us out of Egypt? We were slaves, but at least we ate every day. Okay, so it was straw and mud, big deal. But our stomachs were full. The stress on Moses is unbelievable. He asked the Lord this in verse 11. What have I done to deserve the situation? Have you ever asked that question? What have I done? I mean, am I being punished, God, for something? Did I let you down so bad? Did I sin so bad that you not only you say you forgave me, and yet you gave me this in response? Are you trying to punish me? Moses is asking that question. Numbers 11, verse 14, he says, I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it's too heavy for me. Is that you? It's too heavy for me. I can't take it. My guilt, my stress, my anxiety, my depression, my issues. It's too heavy. I can't take it. And then he takes it another step. In verse 15, he says, kill me out of hand. Have you ever wished for that? Because it's so painful and it hurts so much, you just would rather be dead. Numbers 11, 16, God says, meet me in the tabernacle with 70 elders. I want to do something for you. I want to build round about you a hedge of protection. I want these men to stand around you and pray for you and support you and encourage you and hold you up. Faithful people who will support, encourage, and be a body of prayer warriors. Do you have a body of prayer warriors to support you when you go through a hard time? Many of you are going through a hard time, and I hope you know that we're praying for you. When we hear of a situation where it's health or work or whatever the circumstance or finances or whatever it is, and we know about it, we pray about it. Fast forward in our minds to putting ourselves in that situation. As believers, you have been gifted with brothers and sisters in Christ to be a source of support. As Moses made it across the riverbed and got to the other side, and the people still have the army behind them, they need a source of encouragement. And that source of encouragement is Moses standing on the other side of the riverbed with his arms up like this as a sign of encouragement. Keep coming. But at some point, Moses got to the place where he couldn't keep his arms up anymore. And the men came along and lifted his arms and held him up. When you get to that point where you're so tired, you can't lift your head or your arms, reach out to one of us. Reach out to the people in your life who love you, who will pray for you. And let them, let us be a source of strength with you. God's gifted us to you and you to us. In times like this, so many of us can't stand alone, and you weren't meant to. The Bible said that God invented families for those who are lonely. And this is your family too. Fast forward to the New Testament account in John 11 of the death of Jesus' friend Lazarus. The Savior has waited 4 days to go to Lazarus' home and minister to his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Number four, Martha and Mary's enemy of peace is loss and disappointment. Loss of a loved one disrupts our peace with an array of emotions and physical ailments, loneliness, sadness, depression, fatigue, anger, remorse. What does Jesus do? He begins the process of redirecting those emotions. In our sadness, our only consolation is our expectation of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus makes a life-changing proclamation of promise to them in John 11, 25 and 26. He says to them, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asks the big question, do you believe this? Because if you believe that there is life after this death, and your loved one who's a believer has passed, it's not the end. We don't die as those without hope, those non-believers. We die and we have our loved ones die with expectation. A Christian funeral is not only a time of remembrance, it's a time of celebration. Hello? Because we know to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. If we believe these things, they're life-changing. If you believe that God's promised peace to you, it's life-changing. If you believe that he can get you through any storm, it's life-changing. But if you just placidly believe that it's true, if you half-heartedly believe that it's true, it's going to be a hard time to conjure up peace when there is no peace. God will give it to you. He's promised. So you don't necessarily pray for a way out. You pray for a way through with peace. And that he will give you, I promise you. Because he promised you. Psalm 39:12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. Emotionally overwrought, can I still have peace? Tears coming from my eyes, can I still have peace? Life filled with disappointment, can I still have peace? Situation is hopeless and I'm helpless, can I still have peace? Is he true or is he not? Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Was there a time when the master of the winds and the waves would himself suffer enemies of his peace? Prophecy is clear. Isaiah 53:5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Go with me back 2,000 years ago, the place, the Garden of Gethsemane, the time, mere hours before the trial of Jesus and his death. How is he feeling? We don't have to guess. Look at Mark 14:34. And saith unto them, speaking to the disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. What did they do? They slept. So much for friends. Tired, weak, depressed, afraid, alone. But God. That's Jesus. Afraid, alone. Luke 22:43 says this, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Not a way out, but a way through. someone to watch over you, someone to hold you up, someone to carry you when you can't walk, someone to dry your tears when you can't stop crying, someone to give you strength when you're weak, someone to give you rest when you're exhausted and filled with fatigue. In the closing moments of his time on earth, just minutes before his ascension into heaven, Jesus greets his disciples in his glorified, resurrected body, and the first words that come from his lips are a blessing. Imagine. Luke 24:36. Peace be unto you. Not just a blessing, but a promise. He offers that blessing with all the authority of his divine royalty. Isaiah 9:6 names him the Prince of Peace. In Christ alone, it is Christ alone who brings perfect peace, peace with God, peace with others, and peace with ourselves. Outside of the Christ factor, there is no peace. Amen? As followers of the Prince of Peace, our lives must reflect that peace so that in all ways we can share the gift of peace with others in our sphere of influence. I'm often touched as I read this blessing from Francis of Assisi. Listen. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. Not so much to be understood as to understand. Not so much to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. May God grant you his peace, which he has promised, and may you claim it as a promise for yourself this morning. Amen and amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.